Hello, I'm Samuel Allenby.
And I'm Richard Bliss. And in this podcast, we're going to be talking about how we can interpret objects in lots of different ways. And in particular, we're going to focus on the Victor Tombstone, which you can see at the museum at Arbeia in South Shields. The first person we're going to hear from is Bill Griffiths.
Bill Griffiths, Head of Programmes and Collections at Tynemouir Archives and Museums and Chair of the Hadrian's Wall 1900 Festival.
What I'm interested in and what other people who are listening to this might be interested in is the opportunity that's given to explore sexuality around Roman times.
So I think there's been a real groundswell in looking at the stuff we've got and trying to broaden an understanding of what all these objects we hold mean to people. Trying to find, I hate the word hidden histories because, you know, that for me is a bit loaded. We've never tried, in my tenure, to hide anything, but we can't emphasise everything all the time. But I think there is something of the stories that aren't as obviously told. Stories have relevance to different people, and I think for me in museums, relevance is a key thing, and we need to be looking to see what stories are relevant to different communities and tell those stories. Work with those communities to find those stories and just share, because this is what else is a museum if not to broaden and deepen an understanding of the past.
But I also wondered if you could say a little bit more about why something like Victor's Tombstone is important to the service.
Yeah, I mean, Victor's Tombstone is, well, gorgeous, first thing to say. If you haven't seen it, folks, go and see it. It is absolutely gorgeous. At Arbeia, open during the summers. It is one of the finest tombstones from Roman Britain. So as a work of art, it is superb. Really, really finely crafted tombstone. Really good survival. For me, that pales into insignificance compared to the story that is carved upon it, which is the story of Victor, an ex-slave, freedman, servant of a cavalryman who's died aged 20. And it's a fascinating story because he's an African. So he's an African from North Africa, Moorish, and he's in South Shields, buried in South Shields. And the wording on the tombstone is more akin to like the wording that would happen maybe in a sort of a civil tombstone between husband and wife than between soldier and servant. Most military tombstones are very formal, more slightly martial language in a way, lots of abbreviations. This one's different. It says that the cavalryman most devotedly conducted Victor to his tomb, which suggests or can be interpreted as a same-sex relationship. So it's a really, really significant tombstone. It's beautiful as a work of art. It's proof that Africans were here 1,900 years ago. And it's very, very strong hint at same-sex relationships in the Roman Empire, where we know there are same-sex relationships. So there's nothing hidden. Now, you know, who can say, but you wonder, it might well have just been perfectly accepted. Just don't know. But it's fascinating to think about.
And that don't know is quite interesting as well with all museum objects, because certainly from my point of view, for hundreds of years, museum objects got overlaid with the social meanings that were most acceptable at the time. And obviously, when a lot of our museums were being created in the kind of that late Victorian period, and then when we were gathering lots of into the collection, a lot of those objects, there was no sense in which we wanted to give them any kind of meaning that was reflective of LGBTQI people that were living at the time. Could you say a little bit more about the sort of difficulties in overlaying meaning onto objects, as well as how we can give objects multiple meanings?
Yeah, so the difficulty, sometimes it's a technical one. You know, how much space have you got on the label? You know, now as we go digital, that becomes easier. It's easier to blog and bring out more nuance. But if someone's coming into the museum for the first time, just looking at an object, how much meaning can you bring out? So that's just a straight technical challenge. There are the challenges of perception as well. And, you know, there are elements of society that don't like some of the interpretations we put on objects. And so we have to, I think, be able to be robust about that and be clear. It is about an honesty to the objects and the stories they hold, I think. So there's an element of having to go through it and be sure we're right and not overclaim and not underclaim. So if you ask me, did I believe the Victor Tombstone represents same-sex relationship, the answer is yes. But if you ask me academically to confirm it definitely did, I can't, and I shouldn't. I think that's important as well. So there is that element of integrity in the storytelling as well, I think, for me.
So Bill talked about putting multiple narratives on objects. I'm not sure what I think about that. I've always been more interested in kind of disrupting narratives. What do you think?
From a historian's point, I would say rather than disrupting the narrative, I would say making it more nuanced, in the sense of going over history again in a sort of revisionist sense, not rewriting it necessarily, but looking and saying, could this be due to other reasons? Looking at sources again and saying, like, what sort of interpretations could we get from this that haven't already been discussed? And that within each narrative, there's going to be a lot of different things going on.
You mentioned other sources there. And did you have any chance to look at other sources that were kind of tackling what Caroline Vaught had said in her book?
I did look through a lot of the things that she had referenced, in the sense of understanding there being maybe more evidence for acceptance at the least, or celebration at the most, of same-sex relationships.
There are more androgynous gods than Antinous, and male-male desire is something that gods do. So if you think about Apollo, you know, he comes down to Earth and lusts after Daphne, who turns herself into a tree to escape his assault. But he also lusts after boys. And, you know, the god Dionysus, Bacchus, as he becomes in Rome, is a god who, from the 4th century BC on, starts to look more sinewy, more feminine, and, you know, who sort of moves across boundaries in really interesting ways. You know, he moves from Earth to the underworld, he moves from Greece and Rome out to India, and he sort of moves between the masculine and the feminine.
So in that recording, Professor Vaught talks about how gods were represented in different ways at different times. She talks about Dionysus, or Bacchus as he was known in Rome, being represented as more sinewy and having this opportunity to move between worlds, almost becoming like a queer god, representing himself in different ways. I understand that also happened, that Antinous was moulded and sculpted in different ways, depending on the fashion at the time. What did that mean for ordinary people in Rome? Did it mean that they could maybe see themselves as queer in the same way?
So sort of different images of Antinous being made does suggest that there was some acceptance or celebration of same-sex relationships. And I guess that does maybe go against what we're led to believe by how much of this has been on show by museums in the past.
I asked Bill Griffiths about this idea of actually inviting new interpretations of objects to see what impact that can have on audiences for our museums in the region.
What sort of things do Tynemouth museums do to make lots of audiences feel included?
Yeah, and I think that is actually about engaging with audiences, working with communities, talking to people, trying to get different perspectives. Because, you know, we would try and convince ourselves we will try and embrace every perspective, but I can't know every perspective in the world. You need dialogue with others, and I think that's, for me, is a big change that's happened over recent years. There's ever more dialogue with different communities trying to understand the meaning, and a proper symbiotic relationship as well. We can't do everything for everyone all the time. Like everyone else, we've only got so many resources. But we can have a dialogue and be honest about what we can and can't do, explore opportunities to work together, and actually not see us as curating the community's stories for them, but thinking of it as co-curation. What actually, what does the community want, stories they want to tell, and why? How does that fit in with what we're doing? And just find a way through that's equitable, I think, would be my favourite word for today, I think.
So listening to Caroline Vow and Bill Griffiths, and also what you've been saying, Samuel, it seems like what we need to do is encourage people to come into our museums and ask to see objects and investigate archives and start to put their own interpretation onto objects, so that we get all these different voices and all these different viewpoints, and that this might begin to change things a little bit in museums for future generations.
Perhaps in the future, there might be some space for that when people have been able to look back at things we've found and realise, oh, perhaps there was space for this within Roman culture. Perhaps there were same-sex families, same-sex relationships. But right now, we're finding it hard to find that. So right now, we're just looking at sources that we don't have many of, that are readily available, and we're trying to get some different interpretations out of, but hopefully one day there'll be lots of historians out there with lots of different interpretations that people can look at and think, oh, maybe this could have happened.
This podcast was made by Richard Bliss and Samuel Allenby. You heard the voices of Bill Griffiths, Director of Collections at Tyne and Wear Archives and Museums, Professor Caroline Vout of Cambridge University, and the music of Nicky Rushton, performed by Northern Proud Voices as part of the Hadrian and Antonis A Gay Love Story, a project supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund. This podcast was made with the support of Tyne and Wear Archives and Museums. And where we had love, love so